said, I wanted to join the Navy, too. Well, I joined the Air Force is what I really joined. But I wanted to join the Navy. That was my first thought.
What year would that have been?
45.
Okay, so the war had been on then.
Yes, and it was just over. And at that time, it's rather interesting, they'd take anybody. Because we needed army occupation, and the real soldiers, they want to come home. The war was over, but we needed army of occupation, and we really did, and they were desperate. The draft was bigger at the end of the war than it was during the war, because we couldn't get people to stay in. When they were ready to draft, you're drafted the duration in 6 months, I believe that was how it was done, but they didn't want that 6 months even, so they'd take anybody. And I got in less than 90 days, I was on the way to Okinawa. And the war was just over there.
What was your job in Okinawa?
I was in a little outpost, and my job was administrator, which if you only got 10 men there, who are you going to administrate? But I was promoted to corporal. I had an experience in Okinawa. I wrote a book about it. It was called The Last Hero of World War II. Well, World War II was still considered on because we had Japs hiding out in the caves and everything. And we were playing a joke on this boy. We didn't intend that he'd get hurt. But he did get hurt, and we couldn't admit it was us, or we could have went to prison.
What did you do?
We had to go to the bathroom with slit trench, you know. You just dig a hole and squat over it. But we couldn't have it too close to our little camp because sanitary reason and the smell, too. But it was in the jungle. You know, it was kind of creepy going to the bathroom. In fact, right at first, I always remember everybody say, I'll go with you if you'll go with me this time. You know, because they didn't want to go by themselves because there's still Japs hiding out, one thing or another. So pretty soon it got to where the privacy was better than being scared. So it was about 2 blocks through the jungle. What we was going to do was we was going to hide on the trail and throw a bomb and scare this guy. We was going to let him get by a ways, but it went off sooner than we intended, and it hurt him pretty bad. Everybody in the camp, they heard the explosion because it was a big explosion. They all come a-running, and they thought it was the Japs that had done that.
And you let them believe that?
Yeah. Well, hell, they wanted to believe it.
So you spent a year there.
You spent a year in Okinawa.
And then what?
I came back, and I got assigned down to Burksville, Texas, at Austin, Texas. It was a beautiful base. It just was really a great place to be stationed. Their mission was training glider pilots. You know, it's rather interesting because the story is never written, never talked about hardly. They had two ways to get people behind enemy lines. Well, it was really just one way, paratroopers, and then they come out with these gliders. You've seen pictures of them landing at D-Day behind the lines, getting them in behind the lines. The thing of it is, it took a lot less work to train a guy to sit in a glider and jump out than it did to be a paratrooper. After World War II, a lot of military planners thought the next war would be gliders, no paratroopers. Hmm. And so they were training glider pilots down at Berkson, Texas. The way it worked, we used a C-82 for the tow plane. It was a big flying, called flying boxcar. It towed 3 gliders at a time, and my job was to hook up the gliders. I used a Jeep, and I would go out and pick up the ropes that were dropped by the last plane flew over and dropped the 3 ropes. I'd pick them up, and by the time I'd get back, they'd have the next 3 gliders pushed out. The last 3 gliders still out floating around. I'd back up, and I'd hook up the 3 ropes to the back of the C-82 flying boxcar. Then I'd back up and stretch the rope, and when I'd get it back far enough to where it had reached the glider, I'd leave about a 10-foot loose end, and I'd step out of the Jeep and leave it in gear with emergency brake. Then I'd get out and snap the hook to the glider. So I had been doing this for, 6-8 months. It got pretty good and pretty relaxed. You know, you think you know your job, and there ain't nothing going to happen that hadn't already happened. 3 gliders were called a stick, and I was out there one day, and it was the last stick of the day, and maybe things just kind of relaxed more late in the evening. And I had hooked the 2 outside gliders up, and I backed up to hook the middle one up. When I got all the way to the back, I started to step out of the Jeep, put it in gear, and set the emergency brake. And I had 1 leg out on the runway, and the other was still in the Jeep. When I sensed something was not right, there was a change. They left the engines idling, because when they'd taxi up there, I would have the gliders hooked up in 5 minutes. But I sensed that something just wasn't right. And I stepped back into the Jeep, and when I stepped back in, the C-82 brought both engines full power up. And of course, you know, being a novice and a kid, I thought I could stop the airplane. So I just stepped back in, you know, I thought I had it under control and locked the brakes. And I went from 0 to 60 in probably 3 or 4 or 5 seconds.
Wow.
I didn't realize the airplane had that much power.
Were you injured?
No, I stayed in it. Hell, if I jumped, I know I'm going to be hurt.
Yeah, but even so, you still weren't hurt.
Well, no, I wasn't hurt. That's in one of my little books called The Last Hero of World War II. I put my head down on the Jeep's wheel. A Jeep, if you remember, the steering column is exposed between the dash and the floorboard. And I just put my legs up underneath the dash and wrapped them around it. Then I wrapped my arms around it. I didn't know what was going to happen after the airplane took off, but I knew I was going to be hurt if I jumped. So I just locked myself in there, and I'm going to trust to somebody else to take care of it.